Good morning. This is Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning here at WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday, December 8th. Normally, as you may know, on Galesburg's Evening News weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. So listen into that if you don't get a chance to. We have a lot of the same types of conversations and information that we provide every Saturday morning here on Galesburg Live. And got a couple of interesting conversations this morning. In our next hour, Ellen Larson, who's the Executive Director of VNA Community Services here in Galesburg, will join us. We'll talk about things going on there and some initiatives that they are working on, that Ellen is working on. And that'll be in our 8 o'clock hour. But first this morning, we want to talk about the railroad in a number of ways, and specifically through the National Railroad Hall of Fame, which has been doing a lot of educating as well as fundraising and planning and things like that. So we're going to talk about all of that with a special emphasis, I think, on the education, which we'll get to in a little bit. But first, I want to welcome Julie King, the Executive Director of the National Railroad Hall of Fame. Good morning. Welcome.
Hello, Will. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
In a general sense, how are things going for you and for the Railroad Hall of Fame these days?
They're going well, yeah. And I'm happy to say that that we're quite busy.
That's great. I imagine you're still in a sort of a fundraising sort of mode at this point.
We certainly are, I'll talk about that in just a second.
Sure.
But the thing that has really grown over the last couple of years is that we've been able to greatly expand our programming.
Yeah.
And this allows us to fulfill our core mission, which is to educate and inspire the public about the role that railroads play in building our nation and shaping our future. Our national advisory group has urged us to make our product and our educational materials as portable as possible. And so anyone who visits our website will be able to see a number of pieces of work that that we've done in the last year and a half or so that we're really excited about. We went around the country, for example, doing a series called She Wears Steel-Toed Boots about women in railroading. And
there were some amazing stories that came out of that.
There were some amazing women. And as you can understand, part of the goal of that project was to encourage women to go into the sciences and into the STEM-related areas of education. And these ladies were so impressive. We did a series called Take This Hammer, Stories of African American Railroaders, and that coincided with the anniversary year, the opening year of the new Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture.
Right.
We've just recently completed a series on Women of Metra, and these would be women who work for Chicago area's transit system.
Yeah, that's the commuter rail system in Chicago for folks who don't know, although even if you've been in Chicago for even a minute, you've probably had to take a Metra somewhere.
So we have a series of edited video presentations as well as the full transcripts of these available. We're very excited about a project that we're intending to launch here in early 2019, called The Spirit of the Railroaders, and that will be a digital story archive and tribute library. What that means is that we will have online story archives of any living inductees, of any we're making a point to interview and collect the memories and the stories of really iconic figures from the rail industry. But it's also an electronic site where someone can go on and if you're like me and you have a grandfather who spent his life in railroading, the family can put up a tribute to this person and tell those stories. So it's the entire breadth of the experience of people that touched and worked on railroads.
That's fantastic. I love that. Before you go on, you touched on something there. You said your national advisory board encouraged you to make the sort of a portable type of a thing. But I imagine it's probably just as important because, let's face it, there's still no physical brick and mortar structure for the Hall of Fame yet. It's probably just as important to just get it out in the public any way you can at this point, right?
That is important now, and it will continue to be important even when our facility is open. Our mission is a national one,
mm-hmm.
and that these educational materials can be readily available, that these stories can be reached from coast to coast is really at the core and the heart of what we intend to do and what we are doing. That's another important point to make. The Railroad Hall of Fame does exist in this town,
yes.
And we are fulfilling our mission currently in ways that are drawing attention.
But I think that there are people, rightly or wrongly, frankly, I think perhaps wrongly, saying that, you know, that since there's no building, that there's really no Hall of Fame. But you're saying that the opposite of that is true. You don't necessarily need a building to start fulfilling your mission.
Well, yes, that's correct, and we have been doing that and growing into that role for some years now.
Is it difficult though to kind of move this forward without having that physical structure yet in place, is it easy to kind of?
Think that the difficulty, if you will, was trying to move it forward without the programming.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
This allows us to show who we are, what we are, to fulfill our mission, and to have people sit up and take notice and say, I want to engage with these folks, and ultimately then you hope and wish, want to support these folks.
That's good. Yeah, I completely understand that. So talk about some of the, continue on about what you've been doing in that regard to kind of, for lack of a better term, one, get yourselves out there, and two, continue to tell these very, very important stories.
Well, this past September, I do want to mention that our Rail Industry Advisory Group met here in Galesburg. We did an annual retreat and picked the community here as a place for them to gather. This group of individuals is a panel of really highly respected industry executives. And just to give you some example, they hail from California, Connecticut, Texas, a couple of people from Chicago, Colorado, Washington, D.C. This represents internally for us a culmination of years of relationship building, years of drawing attention to our community and our project. And we couldn't be more pleased and honored with the caliber of people that have signed on as advisors to us, and we're willing to come to town and give 2 days to guide us moving forward.
That's that relationship building. I know when we've talked before has been probably prior to at least the educational work you've done, probably the most important thing that you're able to do. I think as you've talked before, that's, you know, important in terms of getting the financial support you need to operate and to eventually build a Hall of Fame.
It was, it's probably the most important thing that has happened to date, and in its own way, perhaps one of the most difficult.
And but that certainly has paid off. When you had this conference in Galesburg and you brought all these people together, what have they told you? What are they continuing to look forward as they perhaps make decisions about funding and things like that?
So you had ultimately asked about some of the other programming efforts that were underway, and again, our advisory board urged us to continue what we're doing, to continue to make this project as portable and as electronically available as possible. However, we also have some hands-on physical pieces that we have created with their blessing. And one of them relates to an amazing historical moment that is going to occur next year, the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad. We have an array of ways in which we have created programming that will celebrate that event.
Yeah, why don't we move into talking, but we have a few minutes before I need to take a break, but let's maybe start that discussion and then we'll pick it up on the other side. And specifically, I want to this is probably a good a point as any to bring in Cheryl Hinman, who's a very well-known teacher here in District 205 and has for a number of years. But Julie, she plays an important important role in helping this education move forward, correct?
There's no question. You know, when you have a private nonprofit and you rely on volunteers, you mark on the calendar the day when someone like Cheryl walks in your door. She has just been an enthusiastic and gifted assistant for us for, gosh, Cheryl, 8 or more years now, maybe, huh?
Oh, at least.
Are we flattering you yet, by the way, Cheryl?
Gosh.
We're glad to have you here, by the way. Good
morning. Thank you. A lot of fun.
But Cheryl's the chair of our education committee, again, a longtime volunteer. And as you alluded to, Will, she's a veteran educator from this area, an instructor at in the education department at Knox College.
Yeah.
The role that Cheryl plays in our project in the Railroad Hall of Fame is that she is the she was the brain. It was her brainchild to create something called Trunks Through Time. And out of that original idea has grown all of the honestly, all of the programming then that we have built around this upcoming 150th anniversary that we're calling Lincoln, the Railroads, and the Transformation of America.
And we'll get into more detail on that in just a minute. But Cheryl, before I take a break here, let me kind of in some respects, go back to the beginning here. What led you to want to be involved in something like this in the broader sense, in the National Railroad Hall of Fame?
Well, actually, my hometown is Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember the start of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum.
Yes.
And it took well over 25 years to get that off the ground. And I remember all the people who would say, this is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. And my family felt like, oh, yes, it will. And we enjoyed watching the process of the development of that beautiful museum. I am, besides volunteering here in Galesburg at the work for the National Railroad Hall of Fame, I volunteer at the Abraham Lincoln Museum.
That's fantastic.
And the beauty of that place, the storytelling of that place is so inspiring that I want to see it come to this community too with a beautiful museum.
That's fantastic. I keep saying every time it seems like I turn on a microphone that I will stop talking about the 2 years I lived in Springfield and worked down there before coming back here at some point. But
right.
it seemed to me, at least in the last couple of years, that Springfield even, after, I guess, in a way, maybe sort of moving away from telling its own story in regards mm-hmm. to the history of the railroad, it's kind of come back to that, wouldn't you say, here in the last maybe few years in some ways?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm glad to see the programming that has been done even in Springfield. This summer, I attended a workshop on the Transcontinental Railroad and Lincoln's role in the development of that.
Yeah.
And 25 teachers from around the state of Illinois were picked to come down and participate and see, well, what are some of the exciting projects and ideas that can be developed for teaching about the railroad development in the United States, and in particular the importance of the Transcontinental Railroad.
And I imagine that some of that's being worked into what we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yes,
curiosity is kind of piquing in me since you've volunteered and spent time at the Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. There's been this news in the last couple of weeks that mm-hmm. some of the artifacts that mm-hmm. that the museum bought is and they're still trying to pay off, I guess, has been a bit of an issue, specifically this stovepipe hat that they claim Lincoln wore and that supposedly there's no proof somehow that he actually wore it. Does some of that concern you at all, or does that kind of make you kind of continue to try to maybe work stronger to help tell Lincoln's story?
It makes me want to work harder for his story.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd probably say is I've always been fascinated with artifacts.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't every family have something and a story sitting on it, you know, around the household?
Yeah.
And when we were talking about making the digital stories about the railroaders here in this community, I had to reflect on the importance of those artifacts right there. I bet you there are families right here in this town, all over the nation actually, who have some object a button, a pin, a hat,
yeah.
something. And they have a story to tell. Now, could they prove that, you know, this was the hat that he wore when, you know, the president was on this railroad line?
Right.
No. But there's a family story about it. No. We rely upon family stories and letters. And I'm really excited about the fact that everybody can get involved in the collection of stories about the artifacts they have.
So the storytelling is maybe more important than the physical.
That's such a wonderful point, Cheryl. You know, our stories define us.
Mm-hmm.
They are, in a sense, our tribal dance. We pass them down to our children and our children's children. And the stories that we tell ourselves and the stories that we choose to preserve and to you know, memorialize speak to who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, let's take a break. I am talking with Julie King, Executive Director of the National Railroad Hall of Fame, and Cheryl Hinman, who's on the committee that helps educate people in regards to railroad history. They're talking about the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad, which we'll do in much more detail following this check of news and weather here as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning here at WGIL. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson with you on this Saturday morning. Another note, by the way, don't forget, among all the other things going on today, our community food drive starts in less than a half an hour. We'll have UPS trucks at both Hy-Vees in Galesburg, the Galesburg Walmart, and I believe in Abingdon at the High Low, where we will be collecting here in Galesburg non-perishables for Fish Food Pantry and also for the Abingdon Food Pantry as well, starting at 8 o'clock today, running till 4. So make sure you please help us out in that regard as well, along with all the other great things going on in the community this weekend. We're talking with Julie King and Cheryl Hinman of the National Railroad Hall of Fame. They have an important anniversary they're going to help educate local schools on in this in 2019. Later on in that year is the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad. And Julie, why don't you start out? Why kind of maybe both of you, if you can, explain the importance of this and why it's important to mark this anniversary.
It is impossible to understate the importance of what it meant for this country to unite itself from east to west with a railroad. It transformed life in this country. It promoted settlement. It expanded trade. It boosted our domestic economy. It helped unite a nation that was emerging from a civil war. And it, very practically, it reduced the time it took to move across our vast Great Plains from months to a matter of days.
Yeah.
It's something that it was called the moonshot of its day, and it's something that to a modern audience, it takes a little bit of imagination to try to understand what this could have meant. But the date is May 10th, 2019, when that famous golden spike was driven at Promontory Summit, and it united the country with a ribbon of rail from east to west.
Cheryl, would you agree with that assessment of the Transcontinental Railroad's importance?
Oh, yes. I grew up in a household where my dad was a building contractor. So the idea of building things was always fascinating. We talked about it at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about talking to kids about how great it is to build something. I'm also old enough to have remembered Sputnik and, you know, the moon shot and all those kinds of adventures into space. Well, this was an adventure across the country into wild territory. And
before we even would have ever thought of something
space. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I can only imagine what it would be like to come to certain, geographic areas and say, oh, my gosh, how are we going to get across that river? Oh, my word, how are we going to get up that mountain? And you had people who just buckled down and solved the problem. That's, you know, that's an amazing story. And they actually built this this Transcontinental Railroad under budget and ahead of time. So that's really exciting.
That's impossible. How could they have ever done that?
Well, that's the exciting story about it.
So, Julie, the National Railroad Hall of Fame has created an educational component that you've titled Lincoln, the Railroads, and the Transformation of America. I think kind of combining the railroad with this area's love of Lincoln and really, in some ways, kind of the nation's love of railroading and of Abraham Lincoln, too, correct?
Well, yes, that's correct. You know, the line itself, the actual construction of this thing we call the first Transcontinental Railroad really originated in Council Bluffs, and it ended in Sacramento. And most school children know that we started at opposite ends and we met somewhere in the middle. It didn't happen here in Illinois, but we own important parts of this story right here. And that is our connection with Abraham Lincoln, the mm-hmm. fact that he had the incredible vision on so many levels to realize that this Transcontinental Railroad idea, which had been floating around for a while, really needed to move forward. Mm-hmm. It was important to the growth of the country, the settlement of the country. It was important to bind up the wounds of the deep North-South division that we were involved in and unite our country in that effort from East to West. And
who would have thought that something like the railroad could do more than just be sort of a means of transit and transportation?
And so there were any number of proposals for competing routes. Lincoln made the decision on where that route would go after an amazing chance meeting with Grenville Mellon Dodge out in Omaha. And ultimately, Lincoln signed the Pacific Railway Act, which authorized construction of the railroad, of the Transcontinental. So this is a piece of this story that is a very much, I will say, a hometown story to Galesburg. And there's another really important piece in this railroad town that mm-hmm. we literally can touch. And that is the fact that transcontinental rail traffic moves through this community every single day.
And in large quantities.
Large quantities right through the middle of our downtown. And again, if we use our imagination, when we watch those double stack intermodal containers go through here, one train after another, we can think about the fact that goods from all over the world probably came unloaded at Long Beach, the nation's largest port, and were put on a train and are moving right through our community. And as we're in the Christmas season, when we all go online and order those gifts that we want to be delivered in 8 days, 5 days, even 2 days, guess what? A lot of those are going to be zipping through our community. It is a fact of modern life that it's easy to take for granted, and the value and the importance of this infrastructure to modern society. So we want, with our Lincoln the Railroad and the Transformation of America programming, to remind people of not just the historic importance of this, and it is an amazing story, but also to bring it forward and to open everyone's eyes and their thoughts about how this continues to impact us today.
And I need to take a break in a couple of minutes, but let's start talking first about how you're going to be doing this. There's going to be a couple of ways that you're going to be doing this in, I presume, local schools?
Well, yes, we will. We do have a piece of this that will be going into classrooms. Just in general, this is a multifaceted educational program, and it includes an original play that shows how, through the generations, Lincoln's vision continued to resonate and to truly transform people's lives. There is a traveling exhibit, a set of corresponding display posters, all of them talking about the creation and the enduring impact of the Transcontinental. Our specific, more recent excitement, our new addition to this project is a series of educational materials and resources that we will bring into local classrooms next year.
That's fantastic. I'm very intrigued by, among the other the ways you say you're going to be doing this, is through an original play. Mm-hmm. I think that's that's going to be very cool to, I imagine, see come together.
Mm-hmm. It's most unique. We've actually performed it a couple times here in Galesburg already.
Right, right.
But it features characters from a they all have, and this grew out of Cheryl's original idea for the Trunks Through Time. All of these characters are from underrepresented groups. All of them have some sort of a life-changing, transforming experience on the railroad. And they include a Chinese worker on the Transcontinental, a Harvey girl, a young boy from the Mexican boxcar camps. We had one of those right here in Galesburg.
Mm-hmm. Pullman Porter.
Pullman Porters. Mm-hmm. And a modern-day rail worker, right, which we sort of borrowed liberally from the Galesburg story.
There you go. Let's talk about the way, specifically in terms of bringing this into schools. You've purchased a number of books that some students in local schools will be getting as part of this.
We've been quite honored to have received a $1,000 grant from Leaders Change Illinois. This is the philanthropic effort that is sponsored by our own Illinois State Senator Chuck Weaver.
Yeah.
And with Cheryl's guidance for choosing choosing the actual books that we would purchase with the grant and the way these will fit into the curriculum, we feel like we're going to be able to offer teachers here in Galesburg, in our Galesburg schools, a very nice way to observe this anniversary.
That's great. Talk about each of, real quickly before we take a break, Cheryl, talk about each of these books that that the students will be getting. And these are going to be fifth grade students,
right,
that will be getting
grade.
These, correct?
Fifth grade concentrates on a lot of things. Well, they begin to know a lot more about Lincoln and his mm-hmm. role in Illinois. And they also do a lot of things about westward expansion. Of course, this just fits in perfectly. We have a nice little background book called The Transcontinental Railroad, tells the true story, just enough to give them some background on that. We have a book I'm really going to enjoy. Now, I'll bet you some of the readers and listeners out there have read interactive stories before where you get to choose your own adventure. And there's one called Building the Transcontinental Railroad, an interactive engineering adventure.
I grew up on those
choose-your-own
adventure
books.
Yeah,
right. And in this one, you get to make decisions about, you know, what role am I going to take? And am I going to, like, one of them, you have to decide, am I going to risk my life to save somebody else? Another one is, oh my gosh, a herd of buffalo are coming. Which way am I going to save my life? And it talks about the daily kinds of challenges that people had while they were trying to build the railroad. And that's a good partner activity for students to have.
Absolutely.
But my absolute favorite of the group is the 10-mile day.
I was hoping you would get to this. You were telling me a story off the air about a part of this. Talk about this book and its importance.
As they were getting closer and closer to the Golden Spike Day, there was a man who was the boss of all the construction. And he'd learned that one of the other crews coming from the Union Pacific, that they had built up 7 miles of track in a single day. And that was so impressive. But he said, well, you know, I know my crew. And my crew has built up of outstanding Chinese workers, outstanding Irish-American workers, you know, just an outstanding crew of men. They could build 10 miles in a single day.
Wow.
And the other guy said, can't be done. Well, you know how that works. And so Charles Cracker, he said, I'll bet you $10,000 they can. And
$1,000 a mile.
Yeah, $1,000 a mile. And I will let you know the secret that not only did they build that 10 miles, the men kind of asked, well, let's see, how many miles are left to build? And they built more than the 10 miles, so that because that meant that only 9 miles and something were left to build, so nobody could ever beat them. And in fact, that record of building over 10 miles in a single day of railroad track has never been beaten by a human crew.
And that kind of, in a broader sense, that kind of work ethic really was kind of needed in order to build the entirety of the railroad.
Right. That commitment to teamwork, that commitment to, you know, you may come from a different background. You may, you know, have different kinds of skills, but doggone it, we can get the job done.
It was a very interesting point in history. We had men coming home from the Civil War. Mm-hmm. They were used to the discipline of the military.
Mm-hmm.
They needed work, and a number of them joined this effort and went west. And it was a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. I absolutely have to take another break or they'll throw me off the air here. But just to kind of wrap this up, Julie, this will be information that will be available to schools here in a couple of months, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, along with some other packet of information and ideas that we'll touch on later.
Here. All right. And we need to take a break, and we'll get back to that, and we'll have a few minutes to talk about how the Railroad Hall of Fame is involved with today's Galesburg Express event. Cheryl Hinman and Julie King of the National Railroad Hall of Fame are here. We're back for a final segment in just a few minutes as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Back with a few more minutes of this first hour of Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Ellen Larson with VNA Community Services joins us in just a few minutes after 8 o'clock. But right now we're wrapping up with Julie King and Cheryl Hinman involved in the National Railroad Hall of Fame. We've been talking about how May will mark the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad, and the Hall of Fame is providing a lot of education and exhibits and reading materials and things like that into area schools. And Julie, you wanted to mention how the teachers will be able to get that material.
In addition to the books that we'll be providing to every single fifth grade classroom across the community, we'll also be helping their teachers mark this event with a packet of resources of online materials that they can access, as well as some ideas for in-room celebrations. And one of the things that we'll be offering to any interested teacher are costumed readers who will come in and help bring the story to life for those fifth grade children.
That's fantastic. So, and I imagine by and large that this is the kind of thing that teachers either can't or frankly shouldn't say no to when offered to them, right?
Well, we certainly hope so, especially in a town like Galesburg,
yeah,
where the railroad is so important. And you know, I would love nothing more than every little fifth grade kid could say one or two sentences about why this matters.
That's fantastic. Cheryl, anything real quickly you want to add to that?
Just that I've had such fun working on this, and I've worked with Glenn Bussey, who also has been so active in helping us develop some of the material here.
That's great.
We're looking forward to it.
That's great. All right. So that'll be available here in just a couple of months' time, and that's a very fantastic mm-hmm. thing. I look forward to hearing more about that as it gets closer. All right. The National Railroad Hall of Fame, among other ways that you're being involved in the community, is through today's Galesburg Express, the event where folks maybe can do some holiday shopping while kids get to have a little fun, too. And I think you're probably involved in the most important part of that later tonight.
There are events going on all around town today, and but the piece of it that we have sponsored is the tree lighting ceremony. It'll take place later this evening, this afternoon at 5 p.m., mm-hmm. right out in front of the Galesburg Amtrak station. We'll not only light the tree, but we're offering anyone who is interested the chance to win some railroad-related prizes, and these would be...
This was something you did last year that was very well-received, I think.
We did. It's a whole interesting story of how trains have become connected in our Christmas memories, our collective ideas. The railroad, passenger rail, really allowed people to travel.
Yeah.
And it made travel so much easier, and you could consider going to grandma's house or to visit relatives. And so trains have kind of become linked with Christmas, and we are so delighted again this year to offer a drawing. It's free to enter. We'll be giving away a beautiful grand prize of a Polar Express train set. It's got multiple cars, plenty of track. It whistles. It makes smoke. The cars light up. And then there's a first and a second prize also that people can also enter to win.
That's fantastic. I can't imagine that there isn't a kid, or heck, even some of us parents of kids that would love to have some of these items.
Yes, no questions asked. If you want to enter, just real quickly, you need to pick up your golden ticket.
Uh-huh.
You can do that during Breakfast with Santa at the Kensington Ballroom. You can do it at the Orpheum Theater at their showing of the Polar Express movie. And I believe you can also get these tickets at the main information booth, which will be located at the same place where you find our farmers market during the summer,
yeah,
right across to the south of the Kensington. Get your ticket. There are five participating businesses who are listed on that ticket, and you need to run around and get it punched, just like the movie. You need to get your ticket punched at each of those businesses. Then show up at 5 o'clock at the tree lighting ceremony, drop that ticket in, and we're happy and excited about sending three lucky people home with some great prizes.
And if I can be so shameless, our station 105.3 KFM will be at the nice heated tent that'll be set up in that area broadcasting, including somebody who you hear right now will be there later this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of this.
I really want to give a quick shout out to the sponsors of this event.
Please do.
Blick Art Supplies is sponsoring the Golden Ticket, but we also have a number of businesses here who have been very generous to us, and they are sponsoring the tree lighting. It was our desire this year to really beef up our tree, and thanks to their generosity, we've been able to purchase 21 additional sets of lights.
That's great.
So I'm excited to see at the tree lighting how this is all going to turn out. But thank you to the Landmark Cafe, to Bates Collision Center, to Kraft, to the Carriage House, to Personally Yours, to Calico Cat, and to Dovetail Rivet and Stitch. All of them have helped light up our tree. And I urge everyone to go out today, have a great time, and please patronize all of our downtown merchants.
Absolutely. You can find out more information, by the way, on the tree lighting and on the rest of Galesburg Express if you need more by going to the community events page of WGIL.com, which has a link to their Facebook page as well. Julie King and Cheryl Hinman with the National Railroad Hall of Fame, thank you so much for coming in today.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Will.
And thanks for all you do for the community as well.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll hear about our community food drive in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll hear from VNA Community Services and Ellen Larson, their executive director. That's all coming up following news as Galesburg Live continues here on WGIL. Thanks for joining us today.